Well, Christmas is over. We are barreling into New Year's.
How much trash do you have?
So much trash.
Boxes.
Boxes, wrapping paper.
The kids are still playing with the boxes, though.
That's the problem. My recycle picked up the week before Christmas. So now the week after Christmas, I just got trash. And now I got to wait another week to actually pick up my recycle.
Well, Christmas is over, but we're still talking about the carols. This week we're talking about O Come All Ye Faithful and talking about Triumphant Joy with guest Aaron Buckley. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
Hi.
Aaron Buckley. So, Aaron, tell me, who was your favorite carol in your lifetime?
I can't think of any carols, actually.
What?
Neither can
I. How does nobody have carols?
Different generation.
Well, this O Come, All Ye Faithful carol really comes from the standpoint that we need to come to the cross joyful and triumphant. So this really, the song is about beckoning us believers to come and see Christ for who he is. And so I really wanted to look at the carol from the standpoint of just the victory that Jesus had on the cross, but also our response to that and the spiritual realities that that brings to us. And so I titled the sermon Triumphant Joy to really emphasize that we have joy because of that victory and nothing else. We tend to focus on joy for the sake of joy. Joy is a byproduct of what it is when we seek out something. And so when we seek out Christ, there's joy that comes with that. And this is really what the carol speaks to and what Peter speaks to in his first epistle. The first epistle of Peter is all written towards the believers who are in the midst of suffering and trials, verses 1 through 9, is really directed to remind believers of their inheritance, right? Through their faith in Jesus Christ. So he goes through different, and I list them as four different spiritual realities that God's people are foreknown, they're sanctified in the Spirit, that they're also cleansed of their sin by Jesus, and that they receive their salvation through faith. The salvation that we receive, our inheritance, he breaks that up into very specific descriptions to really kind of convey how cool and how awesome the salvation is that we have. So he uses the words imperishable, undefiled, unfading. But then he finishes off by saying guarded by the power of God. So not only do we have this inheritance that's given, that's pure, it's holy, it's all of that, but it's also guarded, insured by him. And I think it's just really neat to see Peter in the midst of in recognizing that the believers have these trials, that they have this inheritance, that he's just kind of saying, hey, you got to remember this, right? That this is just temporary, that what you're going through, but that your inheritance is eternal. You're going to rejoice in that, and that can't be taken away from you.
So it's almost could be an Easter song.
Yeah, true.
Right?
For sure.
Yeah. Triumph of the Cross.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. We should start Easter off with that song. That'd be fun.
Oh, come all you faithful.
Yeah.
People would be so confused. Like,
what did I time machine? What happened?
What does it mean to lead others in a deeper understanding?
So there's a quote that I got from Tim Keller, of course, but he is very quotable.
To some
famous at Element.
But and really he's in this quote, he's really summarizing Jonathan Edwards, right, and his affections, right? And so what Tim Keller says is whatever the heart most wants, the mind finds reasonable, the emotions find valuable, and the will finds doable. And really what he's saying is that whatever our object of our faith is, that's going to take our whole self and put it directed towards that. If our object of our faith, whatever we give our allegiance to, spend our resources on, that's going to direct towards, you know, making our mind think of that as reasonable to pursue. And then it's going to bring with us our emotions, and our will eventually is going to try to recreate that and try to, you know, propagate whatever that is that we're getting. Making Jesus as the object of our faith, that kind of speaks to the Lord's number one commandment, right? Which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I think that's really what that is really meaning, that, you know, if we put Jesus as our number one object of our faith, and then we pursue him, all of that's going to go with that and draw our whole self into that. But so easily do we exchange, right? It kind of makes me think of actually like Indiana Jones, right? We try to go in like he does to very, you know, very quickly exchange this golden idol for the sandbag.
Mm. And oh, Raiders, the first one.
And of course it fails, right? But we try to exchange Jesus in that spot and it just ends up falling flat on our face, right? You know, I really think about the joy in remembering, you know, that we are saved, but that so easily we get distracted by the little joys that happen or the not joys that happen during the day. Jesus isn't something that, you know, in our salvation through him, is that that's not something that can be taken away from us. And so that joy, that's why that joy is eternal, right? In the moment, it may be difficult to kind of see that. But I think being able to remember that, recall that, that joy is not, cannot be replaced by anything that's going to do the same.
I feel like this is a whole Doc Hudson situation from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That could also hearken back to another week. What is our Doc Hudson's? You know, so what is it that you are replacing Christ with as you flip the two over, and hopefully the big ball doesn't come and rolling down to crush you,
right?
After it happens, but you know, what do we keep replacing Christ with in our life?
Yeah, it'd be good if they had that conversation to follow up and ask, how's it going with your Doc Hudson from what week was that?
That was the second week.
Yeah, it'd be real good to follow up on that.
Yeah, still working at my house and moving dirt, getting ready for concrete. So my Doc Hudson's still there.
I think when the aspect of joy, when we lose our joy, that a lot of times is because I've lost heart. Mm. You know, I think of that passage in 2 Corinthians, it says don't lose heart.
It's easy if you just don't lose. Okay, yeah.
Well, though your outward life is wasting away, your inner life's being renewed, and not to focus on the things that are transient, that are, or the things that are earthly, that are temporary, but on the eternal. Yeah, we lose heart when things just don't go quite our way, and then we lose our joy with that. You know,
yeah.
We lose sight of what Christ has done for us, what Jesus has purchased of my redemption and my freedom from guilt and sin and the shame that goes with that. And I'm so focused on something temporary, and it may be affliction, it may be suffering, it may be legit things, but I've lost heart and I lose sight of who he is.
That reminds me of, you know, verse 8 and 9, where he talks about, you know, even though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, that you believe in him and rejoice with joy that's inexpressible. Peter saw and walked with Jesus, but he's speaking to others that have not. We too, today, deal with the same thing, that we don't see him, but we have this hope and assurance in the truth. And that has to be sufficient. You know, our faith has to be sufficient. Christ has to be sufficient in being able to comfort us in those moments and to help while we lose heart, be able to be there for us.
I mean, so many of these carols are really depict the kingdom of God's now and not yet. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, we celebrate Christmas, the Jesus coming, Emmanuel, God with us, Christ and Jesus in the flesh, and then there's the temporary things that cause us to lose sight of the hope we have because he did come. You know, so the now we celebrate, but then we quickly lose that for the reality and the hope we have in the eternal and in the consummating of all these things, that which is broken now will be fixed. That which is wrong with me will be restored and redeemed. And the world that I live in that is a wreck will be made new, restored, recreated.
I love this first question. Read 1 Peter 1 to 9. And what stands out to you about Peter's description of believers? Well, there's a lot.
I guess the one thing that comes to mind is going back to the four spiritual realities, right? Being foreknown, sanctified in the Spirit. I mean, each of those are its own, you know, sermon, obviously,
right?
And probably multiple sermons. You know, one thing that I liked is in my study on this is, you know, what it means to be sanctified in the Spirit, that when we have a relationship with God, that we are not far from God. God is with us and his Holy Spirit is within us. And the Holy Spirit, God is active in working in our lives to sanctify us. The Holy Spirit changes our desires. He convicts sin in our lives. Another term that we use for Holy Spirit's helper, right? That the Holy Spirit is working to help us conform every day, growing in our walk with the Lord. Paul talks about just our assurance of salvation, that he's our guarantee of our inheritance. You know, the Holy Spirit has a very active role in our lives. And so the spiritual reality of being sanctified in the Spirit is a big deal. To know that that's going on is something that can be a comfort, I think. You know, maybe we can take a look at, even within our GCs, as we live out our life and we comfort one another, how do we maybe resist the Holy Spirit in doing those things? You know, how many times do we say, you know, yes, I have faith in Christ, but we're not going to let him actually help us? I know I've done that with parenting. I mean, that is a big, that's a big challenge in my life.
Well, Jesus isn't here right now, and I am.
That's right. That's right. For the fifth time. But yeah, you know, parenting, I think it's a huge blessing, and I wouldn't change it out for anything. But it certainly is a humbling experience, and it's an experience that I think the Lord uses to kind of push you more into leaning on him, because there are so many situations, especially when they start growing up and talking back to you, that you are completely powerless, right? You're like, oh, okay, wait, I need to be reminded that I'm an ambassador right now, and I need to try to help you realize that you need to walk this way. At the same time, I need to trust in God that he's also going to come alongside you as well at some point.
I was just thinking about the title of the carol, Carol's title. Oh, come all ye faithful. That ain't me.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not faithful. He's faithful. You know?
I was talking to somebody about that this morning, about, you know, God being pleased with us because of Christ. And they said, well, you know, what about this person? And what about that person? They're doing this, and that's not pleasing to God. And I said, well, you have to understand, we are not acceptable to God based upon our own merits.
Ever.
It's what Christ has done that makes us favorable. And in so doing, when we understand that, that's what begins to change us. Where the Holy Spirit, you know, keeps coming and knocking and drawing and leading. And I think that's one of the marks of those who truly have trusted in Christ. It's that there is that constant leading of God's Spirit. And this is why we have to come and trust what Christ has done if we're going to step into that triumphant joy.
We just need to look to what Jesus has done and find our joy in him. Not just, like, that's an easy thing, but if we don't focus,
Mike,
we don't focus on him.
Just
do this. Just do that.
Yeah.
No, I think when our focus is appropriate, then we experience the joy, because we realize that what we get is not even in the world of realm that I could produce.
I think this is all people who understand that with, like, head knowledge, right? We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the feeling it is harder to not feel like an imposter, to not feel like just completely unworthy of that, or I know all that can be true, but I still, yeah, I'm in the already not yet, and so it doesn't feel great on my side of things. And I think New Year's brings that a lot out. That's why I think people do New Year's resolutions and all that kind of stuff, because they're trying to make themselves better.
So it goes back to, like, last week, right? What holds the most weight in your life? Is it how you feel or what you think, or is it what Christ has actually said? We put the most weight on his words, on his work, and not upon us. And that should help move many of those things.
Our feelings.
Yeah. We're into line where they're supposed to be.
Christianity is confessional, right? So believing and confessing the truth should at some point begin to infiltrate my feelings. Got to confess the truth, though, to myself, the whole aspect of gospeling ourselves.
Peter is reminding them again of those spiritual realities, because the reality is he's not writing it to believers who everything's going great. You know, they're dealing with issues. They're dealing with suffering. They're dealing with a culture that is maligning them for their faith in Christ. He is reminding them of that, because we all need a reminder. And just because we are Christian doesn't mean every day we are happy, joyful, you know, all of that, right? And that's actually kind of what the world seeks after, right? The world seeks after happiness through whatever. When we think about Jesus as the supreme object of our faith, that he's both the means and the end. So our joy comes from that, and we need nothing else. When our heart's desire is really the chief object. Our heart's desire is not enough to fulfill our heart's desire. Right. We have to have a means to do that. And so then we have to look at other secondary objects, whether it be money or social media, whatever it is, fill in the blank. You know, we cannot satisfy our own heart's desires by our heart's desires, but we can have joy completely satisfied because of Christ and only by Christ.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for coming in, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yep.